السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات، أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, once again on this occasion of Jumu'ah, in the short time that we have, we'll try and discuss some parts of that beautiful description of a wali given by Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali. All the silsilas, as we call, they all end up, or they all lead to Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, and from there to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Yadullahi fawqa aydihim. Nevertheless, that is not the subject, but I was saying that it is very easy for each and every one of us to make very loud and bold claims with regards to our wilayat. Unfortunately, each and every one of us, we think of ourselves as having reached such heights and such status and such stages and such positions that there is nobody above us. Why? Because we made a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, or somebody did a lot of work amongst the poor and the needy, or somebody made a lot of tahajjud, ishraq and chasht, or somebody made a lot of gasht and talim and tabligh, or somebody went and sat in the khanqah by the sheikh. So now we think that now we have reached such heights that there's nobody above us. And this is where our downfall comes. The moment we start considering ourselves as superior to everybody else, and we consider everyone else to be inferior, then that is when our downfall begins. No matter what stage the person has reached, but that is the stepping stone to his, or in fact that is the stage where he starts sliding. And to climb takes a long time. If a person has to climb 100 stairs to reach the top, or if the person is climbing Mount Everest and he went right up, so the climbing takes a lot of time. But as I always say, to go and rest forever does not take a long time. From there, one slip, one fall, and the person then goes and rests forever. So the higher the person goes, the more humble he must become. This humility is a sifat of the heart. It is not just walking bent and walking very slow and thinking that we've got great humility in us, or bending down and making somebody salam, we think we've got great humility. Humility is a sifat of the heart. Tawazu is a sifat of the heart. The person thinks nothing of himself, he annihilates himself because he's got the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in front of him. The person who's got the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how can that person walk with pride on the surface of the earth? Only that person can have pride who believes that everything is out of his own hard work and achievement, hard work and effort. Then that person will be proud. But the person who considers everything to be the ata' of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to be the gift of Allah ta'ala, his sight, his hearing, his speech, his intelligence, everything is a gift of Allah ta'ala. So then he will increase his shukr. Annihilating himself does not mean that he will not appreciate those ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, he will not make use of it. Sometimes you will have to state very loudly and clearly that I am an engineer, I am a doctor, I am a philosopher, I am a scientist, I am an alim, I am a mufti, I am a qari. You will have to even say that sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. But deep down in his heart he knows that this is a gift of Allah Ta'ala, it's an ata, and I am a banda who is pur khata. It is the ata of Allah Ta'ala, and I am a banda of Allah, a servant of Allah who is full of weakness and full of sins, full of shortcomings. So that will make him humble. I always give that example that when a pilot is flying 30,000 feet above sea level, now if he's going to look from the top at the people at the bottom, then he will say, I'm top of all. I am above everyone. Why? Because he at 30,000 feet, he is looking down at all those little planes that are flying beneath him, below him. So he looks at them and he says that I am very, very high. But if he only has to look a little above, there will be somebody at 60 and somebody at 90 and somebody at 100 and plenty, and then somebody will be on the moon. So when he looks at that, then he realizes that what is 30,000 is nothing in comparison with that person who has landed on the moon at 240,000 miles away from the earth. So in matters of deen, in matters of akhlaq, in matters of ibadat, in matters of zikr and tilawat and service to mankind, assistance to the poor, the needy, all these departments, we must always look at those people who are higher than us. They are higher than us. They have done much more than us. When we look at somebody who is young, then we must think that this person is young, so he has committed less sins than myself. He is only 15 years of age, he is 20 years of age, so even if he has committed plenty of sins, but I am 50, I am 60, so he has definitely committed less than what I have committed. And when the person looks at somebody that's older than himself, then at that time he says that no matter what that person may be, but his life, he has already spent 60 years, 50 years, so most certainly he must have done a lot more than myself. Now when you are going to look at it that way, then we will get tawazu in our hearts. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. The person who will humble himself will have tawazu. And this tawazu is tested when somebody swears us, somebody curses us, somebody tells something bad about us, or somebody accidentally bumps into us, or somebody has to point out a weakness and a shortcoming of us, then at that time the tawazu is tested, that where is this person's tawazu. If he loses his head and his fuse blows and he blows his top and he screams at the top of his voice, then we must know that that tawazu was just a show. It was a showpiece, nothing else. In front of the people in the masjid or in front of some friends, the person expresses that tawazu. So shukr will increase that person. So tawazu is a sifat of the heart. Now the person who is believing that everything is a gift of Allah Ta'ala, he has borrowed everything from Allah Ta'ala, then how can he be proud? So we were discussing the wilayat, and this is what I am repeatedly emphasizing, that to make loud and bold claims is very easy. But we have to look in the light of these hadiths of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quranic verses and the sayings of the awliya-e kiram, to see that which stage have we reached, or have we even taken off the ground. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi asks Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, he says that who is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allahu waliyyul ladina amanu. In awliyahu illa al-muttaqoon. So now who are those walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, once he becomes the wali and the friend of a person, then Allah ta'ala will make that person's work so easy. Because in that person's heart after that is no one but Allah. His gaze is not on any person's wealth or property or fortune or gold mine or silver mine. Nothing. The greatest king of the time can be in front of him with all his wealth and properties and fortunes. But in the heart of this wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is just an ordinary servant of Allah ta'ala. Yes, if he's got taqwa with that wealth, then he will hold him in esteem. If not, then he will deal with him as he deals with anybody else. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala becomes the friend of whom? So Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, and we were discussing that first part and we couldn't go further. He said that, هُوَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ فِي وَجْهِهِ حَيَا. That in his face there's nothing but haya. The person has got shame in him. The person has got modesty in him. And I explained that this is a sifat of the Muslims. It was a sifat of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. It was an attribute and a quality of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had the greatest amount of haya and shame in him. And this is something that we have lost from our lives. In front of our daughters, in front of our little children, in front of our friends, in front of our elders, and in front of those who are strangers to us, or whether they are related to us. Our behavior expresses that we have lost shame and haya. Shame, haya, modesty has left us. Therefore, in our dealings, we cannot seem to go straight. Because the first thing that this person should have been doing, if he had haya and shame in him, was that he should have been fulfilling the rights of those whom he has to fulfill. His parents, his children, his wife, his family, his customers and clients, from those whom he borrows money, those whom he lends money, whatever it is, whoever has a right over him, his neighbors, the poor, the needy, then this haya, this shame, this modesty makes him fulfill that right. He does not want to hurt that person without justification. He does not want to cause any kind of harm to that person because he's got haya in him that I am a Muslim, I'm a believer in my Allah, He is my creator. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is Khatamun Nabiyyin Rahmatul Lil Alameen. There is a day of judgment on which I have to answer for all my doings and actions. So this haya, this shame restrains him from doing anything that is harmful or hurtful or injurious to anybody. He is very careful how he uses his tongue. He is very careful how he uses his hands, how he uses his wealth. Then this haya keeps him away from all those places where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would not like to see him. Where Allah Ta'ala is not happy that this person should be, then because he's got haya in him, he will not do that. Out of haya, he's not going to beat up his wife and not going to be abusive. That haya and shame will bring him to the masjid. That haya and shame will keep him away from the cinemas, theaters, discos and all kinds of other haram. So now we have to see that first point itself, how far have we gone? That haya and shame will make him tear up those pages in which there are filthy pictures. If he is bringing the newspaper into his home, he will not leave those Sunday papers open there for his little children and for the girls in the home and for his wives and for the visitors to come and read. He will say that it is out of necessity, I have to read some articles about business or something else or some politics. Well then, well and good, read that. But those who do not have to read all those things also, they can listen to the news. But those who bring those papers, and then those papers are open in the homes of Muslims, when you walk into the room, when you walk into the lounge on a Sunday morning, and the back page of the Sunday Times is open there. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walked into our lounge, would we have been very happy to welcome him? All the salat and salam that we read, and all the Durood Sharif that we read, and all the praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we sing, and when we get our hal, when we listen to Naat Sharif, now will we be comfortable? The Ya Rasulullah salam, come in, also have a glance at these papers that I have got here open in my room here. May make interesting reading for you, na'uzu billahi min zalik. So where is that haya gone? Where is our shame and modesty gone? This is that shame that we have lost. We find it difficult to tear up those pages. We think somebody will make a mockery of us. That what kind of a stupid this person is that he brings the paper and after that he leaves behind nothing but rags or torn and tattered pages. So we are ashamed of what people will say about us. Which kind of people? Those who are far away from deen and sharia and those who are enemies of Islam. Because if a non-Muslim has to walk and see a paper like that, then he will question our intelligence and he will question our sanity. That is, this person gotten off his head. But we are afraid, we are ashamed of them, that what will they say? We are not ashamed of what will my Allah say? What will my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? And how will I answer on the day of judgment? So haya fi wajhihi, haya is the first thing he says is a sign of wilayat. That there must be haya in the person. There must be shame. Iza fatakal haya faf'al ma shi'ta. Even if a small number and a small percentage has to put these things into action, I will think that it is worth my repeating these things. In fact, we should have the courage to write to the newspapers and keep on writing whether we like it or not, and whether they listen to us or not. But we have to keep on writing that your papers are becoming nothing but filthy magazines. The news is hardly worth reading. We purchase the paper so that we may read some good news about what's happening around the world or something that is informative. But from page one till the end, 80% of the contents is nothing but sensational and pornographic and filthy and dirty. Now we leave behind those pages and those papers in our homes, and then I get calls upon calls from different people. Maulana, make dua. My child has gone completely crazy. The telephone bill came so high. Why? Because from the newspaper my child picked up those telephone numbers, sexual chat lines, and the bills became so high. And my son is now becoming an addict to zina. My son was caught at the escort agency. Who is it that is taking them to all these places? We are going to be questioned because we had no haya in us. And as I have repeatedly mentioned, that we are lacking that interest, or we don't have the time, or we are just completely not interested in tearing up those pages if we have to buy those newspapers. In the first place, as I said, avoid bringing those into the homes as much as possible, because there's hardly anything worth reading there. But those who have to keep in touch, then we don't say it's totally haram to. But there must be a quick glance over those things and finish. Some people are sitting with those papers the whole of Sunday, they are sitting and reading those papers. What is so interesting that the whole Sunday goes just reading those papers. From Fajr time till Isha time they are reading. Which part of the camel is straight? So, oh camel, which part of you is straight? Nothing but crookedness everywhere. And then we say the ummah is suffering. Oh my Allah, remove the suffering of the ummah around the world. We cannot remove from our lives those evils which bring suffering upon the society, which brings disaster in the whole country. We cannot remove from our lives, but we want it to be removed from the lives of the entire ummah around the world. Let us look into our homes, let us look into our lives. How much of changes have we really brought? I'm not talking about cosmetic changes. How long does it take for a person to keep a beard? If he doesn't shave for a few days, the beard grows, finish. Did that require a lot of effort to keep a beard? It is extremely important. We must keep the beard, and it should be a fist length also. Otherwise, how are we going to face Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah? When he is going to ask us that, oh my ummati, you did not like my face, you did not like my beard. You felt that my beard will make your face look ugly. Therefore you shaved your face like that same bush that you used to criticize all the time. And the like same that Sharon that used to criticize all the time. But you made your face like him, you didn't like my face. Then how are we going to answer? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ihsan upon us is so much. At least we can say on that day, Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat is kutu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. At least we can say that I have come with a surat. Ya Allah, make it into haqeeqat. But what I am saying is that beard is not sufficient. That's not the only thing that makes a person a good Muslim. How long does it take to keep a beard? It does not require great effort. Stop shaving for a few days, the person has got a beard. But to change that akhlaq requires an effort. So cosmetic changes can come very quick. It's necessary. The outward appearance is also necessary. But how long does it take for a person to throw out his jeans and tops and wear a kurta? How long does it take? Just go to one of the shops, buy one kurta and wear it. 2 minutes time, the person has changed outwardly. So the outward change doesn't take more than a few minutes. But the inside change requires an effort, and we are running away from that effort. That is our problem. When somebody emphasizes on the islah of the nafs, then we don't want to sit in those majlises. We think that what we are doing is great work. Why do we have to go and worry about islah of the nafs? I'm saying you these things openly now because we can see that cosmetic changes are coming, but the inside change is not coming. And as a result, we cannot seem to remove from our lives those problems that we are facing. Problems in our homes, problems in our businesses, problems in our family life, problems with our children, problems with our society. Everywhere we are facing nothing but problems. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, one of his azab upon the ummah is fights, quarrels, arguments. That's one of the azab. Now which home is free from that kind of azab? Every day, calls upon calls. Allah, please, we want to see you, this great problem. Husband and wife fighting, brother and sister fighting, uncle and aunt. Fights and quarrels with children, with everybody, nothing but fights, quarrels, arguments, disputes. So let us see where we are going wrong. Wallah, we don't want to take away that something delicious that is with you. As I always give that example, that if a person has got a mango that is very sour and he is sucking that mango. Now if you tell him throw that mango away, then he will say that why should I throw it away? Or if you say give it to me, he says, why should I give it to you? But if you give that person a sweet mango, juicy mango, say try this also, try it out. If that person just has one suck on that mango, then he will throw away the sour one without you even telling him. And that is all we are trying to say. I am also in search of that sukoon of my heart. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his fazal and with his ihsan will give it to us if we are in search of it. Then try the other side also. We have tried enough of radios and TVs and movies and cinemas and theaters and gambling and discos and rave clubs and drugs and adultery and fornication. We have tried enough and we have thought that is going to bring us some kind of happiness and sukoon and peace in our lives. But it hasn't brought anything. It has brought nothing but disaster in our lives. It has brought restlessness. It has brought anxieties and worries and problems. And the problems are multiplying. And the newspapers and the magazines and the television and all the media, day and night, they are pumping, pumping and pumping all these type of filth so that it becomes acceptable to society. I'm not going to mention the name, and nobody will come to know the name, because even if that person is here or is listening over, he listens afterwards over the tape, he can rest assured that only he knows and I know who that person is who mentioned this to me. But 2 or 3 days ago, and I mentioned it in the one of my majlis here, he came up to me, he was hysterical, he was crying, he was in tears. And he says that, Maulana, my son has given us a shock of our lives. From the university, he writes that I will never ever marry a woman because now I am inclined to a youth homosexual behavior. Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Why is this becoming acceptable in our hostels and in our colleges and in universities and even in some Islamic institutions? Why is it becoming acceptable? Lesbianism and homosexual behavior. Why? Because we are bombarded day and night by the media that there's nothing wrong with it. If people can even go and get married. And as I said, that people will say that why should you mention these type of things in the masjid? Then why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reveal in the Quran Sharif, Surah Lut? Why did he mention all the incident of the people of the qawm of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam? That when they indulged in this type of behavior, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was told, take the earth right above to the skies and turn it upside down and then beat them up with stones again on top of that. To show extreme anger, Allah Ta'ala even rained stones after that upon them. Now we think that we are quite safe, we come to the masjid so everything is okay. Where are our children going? Which line they are taking? towards what are they becoming inclined? Do we know? At least this young person was honest and he told his parents about it, or he informed one of his family members and they informed them. So let us not become very broad-minded. I repeatedly say, let us not become so broad-minded that our brains fall off. We must be broad-minded, but don't let our brains fall off if we want to be the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. We are living in very dangerous times, full of fitnas. We are being lashed by storms of fitnas from all sides. So let us make that little effort to change from within. Then see the enjoyment, see the pleasure, see the happiness, see the sukoon that Allah ta'ala gives. Wallah, it is like an ocean of noor that Allah ta'ala will give in our hearts. We will enjoy it too, and thousands of people will enjoy it too. It is not a fantasy world. I repeat, it is not a fantasy world I am talking about. It's a reality, it's a haqiqat. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the entire ummah. We could not proceed further than haya again today. But whatever Allah Ta'ala brings into my mind, I believe that that is the best for me and for whoever is listening. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.